101.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The Reds open their season on Monday against the St. Louis Cardinals. It's always an unofficial holiday in Cincinnati, but this year many are concerned about the team that will show up on the field. The team's been plagued by injuries in spring training, including closer Aroldis Chapman being hit in the face by a line drive. We're going to talk about the Reds today, then later in the hour, the author of Teeny's Tour of Pie. We'll hear about her travels across the country to learn how to make the best pies. But first, joining me to talk baseball are Cincinnati Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, Cincinnati Inquirer sports writer John Arardi, and WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation by giving us a call. The number is 513-419-7100, or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Great to see you, Marianne, especially on a nice, warm opening day, preview day here in Cincinnati.
At least we don't have 2 inches of snow or whatever they were talking about.
We got a Monday forecast of
60, right.
Now you're talking.
Well, baseball's starting out Monday. A lot has happened between now and then. We're going to start first, though, about the whole idea of opening day, a big deal in Cincinnati. Greg, you are a historian. Tell us what's historical about it.
Yeah, Rardy and I wrote the book on opening day a number of years ago. But, it is a unique holiday in all of baseball. There is no other baseball team that has anything remotely like what we have here in Cincinnati. And I think, you know, if you grow up here, you kind of take it for granted. But if you're new to town or if you run into people and you're trying to explain it to them, it's like they don't really get it sometimes. But if you've been here for a while, as you say, an unofficial holiday, it is one of the great days of the year here in Cincinnati.
Well, the only thing I can add to that is I will quote the great Lenny Harris, former Reds infielder, who said, "You just can't beat those elephants on opening day." And he was talking about Marge, the parade and everything else she was parading out there as well. But my favorite day of the year, I'm sure, Howard, you feel the exact same way about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the first day of summer, really. Yeah. You know, and baseball fans work on a different calendar.
I was going to say.
Pitchers and catchers report that's the first day of spring. This is the first day of summer.
That's right. Thank you.
And then the last day of the season is the depression.
That's when winter begins.
Deep winter.
Well, the Reds this year are coming out of spring training kind of banged up and bruised and all sorts of things. More injuries than I can remember in a long time. And, John, maybe you can clarify that. 6 people maybe at least on the disabled list. Is that unusual?
It's unusual. I think you'd have to go back to probably 2007 to see these kinds of problems. There have been past years, which Greg has pointed out to me, 1971, where they lost Bobby Tolan in center field, and Lee May had a knee injury, and Sparky Darner got fired. They had such a bad year. 2001 was a rough year with Griffey Jr., I believe, busting his hamstring wide open, had to be reattached by Doc Kremchek. There have been some horrible years. I think the best thing you can say about these injuries, Marianne, it appears as though the starting rotation, except maybe for Latos missing a start, is not in too bad a shape. And as Howard definitely knows, starting pitching is the key to this team.
Right, and I think, he may miss a start. I think he'll be ready pretty soon. I think that's one reason why, like today out in Arizona, Jeff Francis, you know, who's kind of a journeyman pitcher who's been in camp for 2 years, is starting for the Reds against Oakland. And they just want to take a look at him and see, you know, if they need somebody to step into the breach. He's one of the possibilities. But, they've been banged up.
What about Homer Bailey? I mean, he was not in the best of shape.
Well, Homer had a good session yesterday in a minor league game, as did Latos.
Yeah, I think Bailey's injury was a groin, and that's the one thing that does bother you a little bit. Some of these injuries, they can be nagging. Devin Mesoraco, the catcher, with an oblique strain. Bailey with the groin. I mean, these are the types of things they can go on for a while. You just cross your fingers and hope. Right. They don't lose these guys for more than, at the most, a turn or two. If they only miss a turn or two, I think they're in fine shape.
Yeah, the positive is that none of these injuries are even worth thinking about the 60-day disabled list, which is the longer, more serious injury. So hopefully all these guys will – I mean, Aroldis Chapman's going to be out for at least a couple of months probably, but everybody else looks like they may be able to come back pretty quickly. Although there's no question it's thrown everything into turmoil. I mean, when you have your manager, a couple of days ago, Brian Price was quoted as saying, I don't know, we'll have somebody out there on opening day to pitch. But, it really has been an odd spring with this succession of injuries. As you guys say, the only good thing is they don't appear to be of the lasting variety.
Well, Johnny Cueto, who started on opening day the past couple of years, also had some troubles in spring training. They say he's in pretty good shape now. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I hear he's in good shape. I mean, Cueto would be my choice for opening day starter just because I think it would make a statement coming off what was not a good outing last year in the one game up in Pittsburgh where they went to the playoffs and made a quick exit. I think if they could get Johnny back in form, that would make a nice statement like, this is not last year's team.
Right.
They're going to be off to the races. Frank Robinson told me in 61 when they won the first game, he felt like they won the pennant that day. And in fact, they did and went to the World Series. Now, you can't necessarily draw a conclusion from one game, but if Cueto were the starter and he had a great start, I'd feel very good about this team's chances in 2014.
Most of the pitchers the same. How's Mike Leake doing? We haven't heard a lot about him. How's he doing this year?
Well, Leake seems to be in pretty good shape. I mean, he's had, a few problems. He had probably his worst outing of the spring the other day. But I'm not too worried about him. Cingrani is at the tail end of this rotation. He's not had a good spring.
But he's been healthy.
Oh yeah, he's been healthy. He's just not had a good outings during the spring. And I don't care what happens like in the first couple of weeks, but when you get down to this last week or 10 days of spring training, that's when the performances on the field really matter.
Right.
Although it is safe to say that for every guy who just looks fabulous in spring training, they don't necessarily turn around and then start off well or vice versa. It's not always a good predictor. But as Howard says, that last start, you do want to see a guy showing you a little more than maybe he has before. But as John has said, and we all would agree, the strength of this Reds club, the thing that's really going to propel them is going to be that starting pitching and hopefully the depth of the bullpen. And that's one thing we haven't talked about. But with Chapman down and Marshall and Broxton starting the season on the DL, the bullpen's going to be a little thin
at the
beginning of the season. And we've got a very – it's interesting. You look at the schedule for April. It's a tough schedule. We've got the Cardinals 6 out of the first 9 games.
Right.
We've got 6 more with the Pirates. We've got a series with the Braves. I mean, we got some – it's going to be tough April, tough start to this season, especially when you're banged up.
You got the Rays in between the Cardinals here and there.
It's
tough.
Well, you were talking a lot about the starting rotation, and I don't think we can talk about the starting rotation without mentioning somebody that won't be here this year that usually doesn't have any trouble with the disabled list, and that's Bronson Arroyo. How much is he going to be missed?
He'll definitely be missed, Marianne, because he was such a mentor to the rest of the staff, and I think it was Latos who said last year, he pointed over to Bronson Arroyo and basically referred to him as Methuselah. He said he's been here about 50 years, and that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it seems like he was here forever. Greg Rhodes has pointed this out to me. The guy is a lead pipe, Reds Hall of Famer, no question, very valuable. You could just count on him to take the ball, and as we've seen with this rotation, Howard, late in spring training, you really can't count on hardly anybody to take the ball for sure, whereas Arroyo was one guy you never had to worry about.
He would take you deep into a ball game, and he would keep you in a ball game.
Yes.
He might leave, with the team behind 2-1, but he'd give you a chance to win every time.
Yeah, I really liked him.
And he never missed a start.
No, that's true. And I think what's going to happen, and it happened when Scott Rowland left, somebody has to step up and become that guy. And this is where the youth comes in, and you say, okay, who might that guy be? And I have to say this. I am a huge Homer Bailey fan. I think he's really turned the corner the last couple of years, and I expect him to be just a bell cow out there. And I also love Latos. In fact, the best point I think we've made so far is on Leake. If that's your fifth starter, you're in very good shape because in the past, your worst years here have been when there's been no fifth starter. Basically, you throw the guy out there, and you hope he doesn't give up 6 or 7 runs. In the case of Leake, he's, I think, arguably one of the best fifth starters in all of baseball.
Yeah, I heard Brantley talking about this the other day. And, he's saying, okay, most teams you go the number one, number two starter, and then you get, a bunch of junk ball.
right.
But with the Reds, it's different. If they're healthy and they put them all out in a rotation. It's one of the best rotations in baseball.
Right, and you cannot give up that fourth and fifth game.
No,
I mean, that's basically 30% of the season. You got to have those guys. And, Marianne, that's why I still like this team. Despite the bumps and bruises, as long as that starting rotation is healthy, they'll be in the hunt until the very end.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment, or if you want to tell us your favorite opening day story. I know there are a lot of them out there. Maybe you've been going since you were a kid. Tell us about that as well. Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Along with the starting rotation, which you all think is critical, a new manager this year around. Brian Price has been around for a while, a pitching coach before being named manager. What do you expect from him this year, Greg?
Well, I think you're going to see a little more interesting, a little more varied approach than you got out of Dusty. You know, it's interesting. I mean, the Reds win that playoff game against Pittsburgh. I mean, it could be that Dusty Baker would still be managing this club if they'd have won a couple more games last year there at the end of the season. But I think the fact that Brian Price is known to this club, the players all know him, the pitchers love him. And I think that, you know, I know Arroyo, or before he left, and a couple of the other guys were talking about how prepared and meticulous Price is. I think that this club is not going to be outmanaged, and they're not going to be outprepared. So, I, you know, all in all, I think he's going to bring everything you'd think of wanting a manager, he's going to bring.
You've already seen a different mentality in spring training, okay? This team in the past has never run. It's never taken the extra base. It's never, you know, tried to steal bases. You look at what he has done just this spring, and I'm not just talking about Billy Hamilton. Obviously, if he gets on base, he's going to steal bases. But other guys are more aggressive on the base paths, and I think that's a direct result of Brian Price and his philosophy.
No question. We haven't seen any panic in him so far, which is great given all the injuries. But
a couple. Yeah, he must be thinking he's snake bit. I mean, Lord, what a start.
You know, a couple things about Brian Price. I think he's shown a willingness to bat Votto and Bruce back-to-back, even though they're both left-handers. As Price said, I'm managing to win the game, not to win the eighth and ninth inning. I think Dusty's problem was too often he was worried about what side of the mound the late reliever was coming in from on the opposition. Brian's also said that once Chapman gets back, he works his way back in to let him throw a couple innings at a time if he needs to, not just one inning. And perhaps most importantly, one thing about Price is I don't think he'll be managing for the press conference after the game, which I felt at times Dusty did. I think Brian will manage to win the game, and if there's second guessers out there, he'll deal with them after the game. But he's a strong presence. Greg Rose alluded to it. He's not afraid of a little bit of contention in the clubhouse. He wants to lead by example, and I think he's got the club to do it. He'll let him roll.
It's that accountability thing too, you know, that he talked about since day number one. You know, you are going to be held accountable, and if you don't do the job, there's somebody behind you who's going to take that job.
Yeah, Marianne, I very much like this guy. He's going to be tested early.
Yes,
but
he's
already been tested. But you know, we've seen other managers come in here. Most notably, Sparky Anderson in his first year as a big league manager in 1970. Of course, he had a little bit better hitting club, but, man, I'll tell you this. Brian Price is the right guy to have if your closer goes down and you have to do it by committee, because I think Price is the best pitching coach in baseball. Now we're going to find out how good a manager he is.
Right.
Do you think he'll spend any time doing some of the work that he did as a pitching coach, even as the manager, or is he going to let the pitching coach handle that?
I think he'll let the pitching coach handle it, just because I think it's important to let the pitchers know who their new boss is, and Brian will step in if he needs to. Dusty was the same way with the hitters. Dusty was a great hitting instructor, but basically let the coach do the work. It's going to be interesting to watch if this team gets off to a rough start, how Brian reacts, but I expect him to be very calm and collected and, again, show no signs of panic. I think the club will be fine with him at the helm.
I've heard him say several times that, no, the pitchers are going to go talk to the pitching coach. You know, if there's a problem, I'll take care of it. But pitching coach is running the pitching staff.
And, you know, I think Brian's got a lot on his plate. He can't necessarily be worried
about
be worried about if Homer's breaking ball is moving enough. He has to basically look at the whole club, because I think right now, if the hitters follow him like the pitchers did, this club's in great shape.
Jeff Pico is perfectly capable of taking care of that job.
Definitely.
Our phone number, if you have a question or a comment, is 513-419-7100. I want to remind you that, well, don't necessarily have to remind you, you probably know opening day is Monday, but we put a little something on our website. Howard Wilkinson worked with veteran photographer Michael Keating and put together a video and a narration of what a ballpark is like on a cold day like today, and you get to see it come alive as the season goes on. Take a look at that. It's at WVXU.org. And again, our number, 513-419-7100. Howard, you mentioned Billy Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Where do we think Billy's going to come in this year? You talk about him stealing. I don't think there's any fear that if the man gets on base, you know, second base is in his purview right out there. But what about the getting on base? That seemed to be his bigger problem last year.
Well, he's done a pretty good job of it in the spring. I mean, he's hitting the ball, and he's, if he lays down a drag bunt, you just stick in your pocket. I mean, you're not going to get him. You know, he's on first base. And once he's on first base, then pitchers.
He's on second base.
Yeah. Pitchers, fielders, everybody, the opposing manager, they all lose their minds.
Well, they know he's fast, and, you know, he is fast. I mean, I think the time, 3.4 seconds, 3.5 seconds or something to get to first to second, which is crazy. But do you think that he just gets in people's head as much as anything else? They're so afraid because he's so fast that they get messed up?
Oh, definitely, because as you guys have been saying, if he gets on first, he's going to be on second and maybe third. Marianne, what I love about this guy, and I'd like to hear Greg's and Howard's thoughts on this, to me, I've never been so excited about a player coming in, maybe since Josh Hamilton in 2007. But I compiled a list. I'm going to rattle them off very quickly. I'm going to write about this, I think, in Sunday Monday's paper. Here are some of the great phenoms that didn't necessarily start on opening day, but they were in the picture. Either they, as in Josh's case, came off the bench or maybe broke in a little bit earlier the previous season. But I'll throw these names at you. Josh Hamilton, Billy Hamilton, Pete Rose, Frank Robinson, Paul Householder, Brandon Larson, Wally Post, Eric Davis, Ray Knight, and Barry Larkin. Those are some pretty good names. Some booms and some busts, but that's the kind of anticipation. More booms. But that's the kind of anticipation I personally feel for Billy Hamilton. I'd like to know what you two guys think about that, because you want to win opening day, but I'd love the promise of youth on opening day, maybe more than anything else.
You know what the great thing about this kid is? This kid is entirely coachable, and he's had coaching and advice from some of the best. Delino DeShields, Eric Davis, Ken Griffey Sr., and he listens to them, and he learns. And I think, he's going to have his rough spots, you know, where he doesn't hit and doesn't get on base. But I think, he's going to be the real deal.
You know, my favorite, before I defer to Greg, my favorite call this spring was last Saturday. Marty Bremen's watching the game. He says, there's a looper to center field. That's going to be trouble. Nope, Billy gathers it in. Not only did Billy gather it in, he didn't even have to dive for the ball. It was routine.
Right.
He's going to be the pitcher's best friend. The two best things about him are his fielding in center field and his running on the bases. And Greg Rhodes, I give it to you for the critique.
Well, I don't really have much to add other than to say that if Billy Hamilton is still in the starting lineup batting leadoff by June, I think you're going to feel pretty good about this ball club. It's one of the things, one of the keys to me for the season is keeping him in the lineup. And if he's still in there in June, that means he's doing a good job. And he's certainly shown everything that you could ask or wanted to see in spring training of the kid you've seen. He's handled it all. He's getting on base. So it's a good sign so far.
513-419-7100 is our number. Dan's calling from College Hill. Hi, Dan. What's your question?
Thanks for taking the call. Got a question, first a comment. I agree. I'm excited about the year. I think the pitching staff gives them a great chance to win, and everyone's, you know, banking on the Cardinals winning the division, but pitching usually wins, so I'm hoping it holds up. But my questions are, one, what do they see Heisey's role? Will it be any different than it's been in the past couple years? And if they could talk a little bit about Todd Frazier and what they think he'll do this year. And Frazier doesn't work out, who do they turn to at third base?
Well, with Heisey, he's a great question, because he's had the best spring, not only for the Reds, but maybe of everybody in the Cactus League.
Right.
And myself personally, I know the train of thought is you never take a starter out. You let him work his way in. That would be Ludwig turning 35 this year out in left field. But Howard, the way Heisey has swung the bat,
right.
I'm a big believer in the hot hand. And, yeah, I know they're paying Ludwig a ton of money, but if I got a hot hand and I got a guy struggling a little bit in left field, I'm going to get Heisey in there as quickly as I can. Maybe not opening day, but soon thereafter.
If you've watched Heisey during the spring, he's changed his entire approach to batting. You know, he's dropped his hands. He's up more upright. The light bulb went off in his head. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if Ludwig struggles, I think you're going to see a whole lot of Chris Heisey in left field. Now, they're paying Ryan Ludwig a lot of money. And he's going to be the opening day left fielder. I don't think there's any question about that. But if you don't produce, there's an alternative.
Well, Chris Heisey, I love to see the fact that he's hitting more because, that's been the big problem for him the last couple of years. He just has not hit. But yet he's still on the roster. I mean, you think of the guys that come and go. Chris Heisey's on the roster. And one of the reasons is he's a very good defensive player. Mm-hmm. And not only might you see him, I mean, it depends. If Hamilton starts to struggle, you're going to see him in center field too. And if Ludwig, they may play him quite a bit in left field, depending on how good his start Ludwig. You know, it's tough. 35 years old, coming back from a major shoulder surgery. It's going to be tough. I mean, I wish him all the luck. The more good players we've got, the better. But it sure is nice seeing Heisey have this kind of spring when you may need an insurance policy in the outfield.
And Dan also asked about Frazier's role.
Yeah, I think Frazier's the kind of guy. First of all, we'll go way back in time here to 1962. Gene Freese, third baseman for the Reds, breaks his ankle in spring training, and that club still won 92 games. The problem is this club doesn't have a guy named Eddie Casco to jump in at third base if Frazier struggles. But I think I've told people this. We'll go back to Billy Hamilton. I said Billy Hamilton's not the problem on this team. It's the three guys not named Votto, Bruce, and Phillips. Those are the guys I'm worried about, and Frazier's one of them, quite frankly, because you need power, Howard, from those corner positions,
right.
And they're getting some power, but not nearly enough on-base percentage, and that's where the problems are with the Cardinals.
You look at Todd Frazier, and you look at his approach to the plate, and you look at him and say, this guy can be fixed.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be fixed. If he gets good, you know, hitting instruction and listens to it, I still believe that this guy can produce.
We're going to find that out, and that's the beauty of a season like this. I think Frazier's maybe turning 28 this year. He's not a spring chicken, but you have to like his power, and mainly I like the fact that he doesn't hurt you at third base. He's a pretty darn good fielder, so he's the kind of guy, Marianne, that if he hits 20 home runs, you all go drink champagne because the Reds will go to the World Series. But the big question with him is, while he's hitting those 20 home runs, can he get on base even at, say, a 330 clip, and that'd be almost minimal for him because he's not the kind of guy that's going to wow you with a huge batting average. He has to learn to be a little more patient, and I hope you're right, Howard. I hope he can turn that around a little bit this year. He hasn't turned it around in the past. He swings at too many bad pitches.
Dan, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. 513-419-7100 is our number. If you have a question or a comment, remember you also can send us comments via Twitter at 917WVXU or on Facebook. You mentioned a couple of names over there, John, that we haven't talked a lot about, Votto, Bruce, and Phillips. And there's a whole lot going on with several of those people this year, both on and off the field. Why don't we start with Joey Votto, who I think has been trying not only to play baseball well, but seems to try to be changing his image with the fans. He's been appearing on talk shows and just being Mr. Friendly, which is not usually what you think of with Joey Votto.
No, and I love that about him because I think what he's doing is he's saying, okay, now we're going to see who the leaders are in this ball club, and I'm going to be one of them. And I think the reason he's done that is because he knows he has a new manager, he's got the guys back, and he wants to let the fans know I'm with you on this. And the one thing I've always liked about Votto, I never got the feeling that he was at all reclusive. Within that clubhouse, he's a good guy, and mainly, even though he's not a huge glad hander, he definitely gets a connection with the fans. He's striving hard to be the best hitter he can be because he knows what he means to the city and to the ball club, and I love that about him. And Howard, maybe you can talk a little bit about him as well as Jay Bruce, because I think these two guys, they remind me a lot almost of a Gus Bell, Wally Post type.
Yeah, That's a pretty good analogy. These two are, and they're the best of friends too. I mean,
right.
they're tight in the clubhouse. Joey, you know, was criticized a lot last year because he didn't drive in enough runs, but the on base percentage was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, and he's going to do that. Now, I expect to see him adjust a little bit this year, where he's driving the ball more into the gaps, you know, more doubles, a few more home runs. I'm not fixated on home runs.
Right.
I like doubles. I really like triples.
but, well, you may see some more of those with Hamilton.
That's right, yeah. And Jay Bruce, I think, he has blossomed now into a frontline perennial all-star and even a possible MVP-type player. I think you're going to see great things from him this year. I think you're going to see huge, huge numbers.
Bruce is one of those guys that I think you're not going too far on a limb to look at some more upside from him because he's still
right.
pretty young.
Yeah.
But he's got 3 or 4 years now, on 4 or 5 years under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bruce is still getting better. Votto there's a little shorthand that you sometimes see when they're talking about how good a player is, the slash line, the batting average, on base percentage, and slugging percentage. And the best you can do is 3.45, 300 batting average, 400 on base percentage, 500 slugging percentage. And the number of guys in Major League Baseball history that have retired with numbers that good is you can name them on. I mean, it's like 25 guys ever,
mm-hmm.
and Votto is in that category. Now he's still got a lot of playing time left. We'll see how what he retires. But to have a guy that consistently good in the three major offensive categories like that, man, you got to love it. And the fact that he's perhaps taking more of a leadership role this year, it's going to be interesting. You know, Frank Robinson was on this club. We're showing our age now, but back in the late 50s, Robbie was becoming one of the best players on the team, and it wasn't until 1961. Of course, that was the year that he had the infamous he was picked up with the gun in his had an episode in a Cincinnati restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of took stock of himself, and there's no analogy there with Votto. But the point was, Robinson really grew up in 1961, and he took on that mantle of leadership that he had kind of resisted before that. So I don't know. You might it's an interesting comparison. You might be seeing a little more of that, where Votto hadn't been that vociferous a guy, but now he's going to become a little bit more. So we'll see. You know, the whole question, and it'll be interesting to hear you guys, the chemistry issue and so forth in the clubhouse. To me, it's a little bit of chicken and egg. You're playing real well. You got good chemistry. I don't know that good chemistry necessarily makes you play better, but it's a nice thing when you got both of them going on.
And they've got a good mix in that clubhouse. Marianne, you asked about Brandon Phillips, and he's a little bit of a wild card because he is sort of to himself. He's closer to the fans than he is to his teammates, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because it makes for a great face of the franchise. And the one thing about Phillips is, even when he's made some ridiculous statements about the Cardinals, the teammates have come to his back. They've supported him, and I think they realize Brandon is Brandon. The big issue with Brandon is not how big the smile is. It's how good the on-base percentage is,
right,
how much he can stay in the lineup, and hopefully, again, this year, driving a lot of runs. But why I like Brandon Phillips is because he's such a good glove man. He never hurts you defensively. And I think there's just enough of a wild card with him that the opposition doesn't know quite what to expect with him, and I love guys like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, some people were complaining that his numbers are starting to decline, and maybe they are, But
he played half that season last year with that hurt,
that's
injured
right.
hand.
He
I mean,
was.
I think let's see how he starts off this year.
When he's healthy.
Well, though, he's not talking to the media. Is that right, John?
Correct. And you can always live with one guy like that as long as the other 24 are talking to you. So I don't think that's a big issue. It's interesting. I mean, because let's face it, everybody, and I've always made this statement to people, a clubhouse is just like your family and society in general. Not everybody gets along. Everybody's got their own personality, In the case of Brandon, he needs to grow up a little bit, but at this age, in terms of baseball years, he's not going to change. He is who he is. Get over it. Love Votto, Bruce, and the other guys, and just say to yourself, Brandon, just hit, you know, get on base at a 340 clip, maybe steal 10, 12 bases, and play that gold glove defense, and you cannot talk all you don't want to talk. No problem.
I like you not talk all you don't want to. I like that's good grammar there. What about?
He's a writer.
I'm picking
that's
on
right,
him. I'm picking
right.
on
just a
him.
Writer. Just
actually,
a writer.
I think that was grammatically correct, but I just had to think about it.
I sounded like Sparky there for a minute.
There you go. Just know it's not Yogi Berra. Devin Mesoraco injured. Does that mean Corky Miller could be coming up for the opening day?
It's possible. I've told people this. I said Mesoraco is the one injury I worry the most about because.
Yeah.
The difference between this team this year and last year should be Ludwig being healthy, getting more offense from your catcher, and who am I leaving out? Oh, the pitcher, Cueto, because he wasn't of much value last year. So Mesoraco is really a key guy. I'm nervous about that oblique strain, but from what I've heard recently, he shouldn't miss too much time because of it. And frankly, if Corky does come up, and I love the guy, it'll be
we
just
– We should say Corky Miller has
Corky
been
Miller.
Long-time catcher in the right. in the minor
right.
leagues.
Right, best facial hair in
yeah,
baseball.
Yeah, best mustache in baseball.
But the thing is
not
about,
on the 40-man roster.
And correct. So I would think that if for some reason that oblique with Mesoraco turns out to be serious, I think they'll go out and get another catcher because I don't
think
Tucker Barnhart's quite ready. And
no,
and
they got a big drop-off after Mesoraco.
Yeah.
Tucker Barnhart is going to be a very good – Major League catcher someday.
Someday. Right, not
but
yet.
Not this day.
And are they going to miss Ryan Hanigan then?
Well, they're going to the pitchers will miss him because he called such a good game.
Yeah.
But again, we come back to the same thing. You like confidence, you like chemistry, but give me those offensive numbers, people. And that's what Hanigan didn't give you, and I think Mesoraco can. So I actually like the upgrade with Mesoraco.
I do too.
Just about a minute or so left. Any guesses who really is going to be playing and pitching on opening day at this point?
I wouldn't be surprised if it were Cueto. What do you think, Howard?
I think it's Cueto. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, if he he's probably got one more start
right.
This week.
Yeah.
And if he comes out of that, okay, he'll probably be on the mound.
And what about the rest of it? Any other surprises that you see on the 25-man roster when they start the season?
Oh, on the 25-man, we only got a minute, Marianne.
Yeah. I mean, you have a number of players in that camp who have major league experience who could fill in. You know, Jack Hanahan's going to start on the DL, the backup third baseman, so you're going to need somebody from him. You know, you'll have a few new names, at least initially, on this 25-man roster.
You just hope you don't need him too long because
right.
in the words of Sparky
exactly.
Anderson, if you put him in there and they're a role player, you're going to find out why they're
why
a role player.
They're a role player.
So
right.
we're hoping that whoever they have to substitute early in the season is only out there for a week or two and then they can begin hitting their stride.
Well, all I can tell you is there were going to be a lot of interesting storylines before this season started, but now with this spring training mess and everything, the injuries, I can't wait to be reading John Arardi over the next couple months to see what happens to
me
this.
Too. Me too. Me too. Thank you all for being here. What a pleasure. It's always one of my favorite shows to do when we start talking about opening day. We've been talking about baseball. My guests today were Cincinnati Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, Cincinnati Inquirer sports writer John Arardi, and WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. In a moment, we'll talk about pies, how to make them, the best kinds for each season, the tricks of the trade. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.